BlakeRadio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
This is your favorite knockout, Tara.
This is WWE superstar The Miz.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening on The Rock to God.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the Wrestling Radio Awards Best New Show, The Rock.
I am not to blame for what is about to happen here. Vince, this rests upon your shoulders because you did not live up to your end of the agreement, Paul. Let the ceremony begin.
Giving you unique insights into the world of professional wrestling in WWE.
Dearly and beloved. Of darkness. Stephanie Marie McMahon will step from the light on this evil, cesspool, mortal world into the sanctuary of eternal darkness. Will you, Stephanie Marie McMahon, accept the purity of evil and take the Lord of Darkness as your master and your spouse?
And TNA.
Every time you whine, Chris, I can't help but feel three bullets ripping through my flesh. And the reason is, because no matter how much you lie, you cannot erase the fact that you betrayed the man who gave you life, Chris. And I am your father.
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
By the power vested in me by the Lord of Darkness, I now pronounce you as the unholy union of darkness. You may now kiss your bride.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You will rest in peace.
We're here.
Here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane. That's right, MemLanePromo.com. And I wonder if they have any Halloween merch.
I know they have some Red Sox merch, but, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, well, if you're a big fan of the Red Sox, because the Red Sox did take the World Series last night, head over to MemLanePromo.com to get that. Because, yes, congratulations to the Red Sox on their win at Fenway. Well done.
Now you Boston fans can shut up. Anyway.
You're pissing off the Philadelphian. Just shush.
You're pissing off America. America.
America.
You can no longer whine. You 4 championships in 10 years. Stop whining. Anyway.
You're not the Cubs, okay?
Exactly.
By the way, for anybody who is a fan of the foot of the balls, Miami and Cincinnati are tied 17-17 with about 2 minutes and 15 seconds left in the first quarter, and Cincinnati has the ball at about the 40-something yard line.
We'll go with the 42. Anyway.
42. Yeah, 42, that works. So, it's the Halloween Spooktacular. It's not going to be that spooky. We have music. We have some stories. But we're mostly sticking to business. Because, well, we have a lot to get into tonight. We have Hell in a Cell. We have lots and lots and lots of news. We have tonight's exciting Impact. And, well, of course, you know, the devil made us do it. We have to talk about Bray Wyatt.
Of course. It wouldn't be this show if we weren't talking about Bray Wyatt. And it's a big deal on Monday night. So we're going to get into that tonight because it's Halloween.
is, but before we get into all that, we have our question of the night.
And our question of the night goes as follows, peoples. Who is your favorite creepy character in pro wrestling? We got a bunch of responses. Curious to know who you think out there in internet lands. But we'll get your opinions in the chat room later on tonight.
Yes, and now we're going to jump right into the news, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at PWMania.com. And before we get into the actual news, I have to berate somebody, because this happened as we went on the air. On Facebook, I'm not sure exactly where it started, but I saw it on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
That the WWE memes page put out a breaking news that Dean Ambrose had broken his arm in a live event tonight, and then proceeded to post a link of a video, which was a Rick Roll.
Hate you.
And I got rock with it.
I was watching the show, I read half of what she said, and I clicked the link, and hate you.
This will teach you to, you know, pay more attention.
I know, right?
But a news site apparently didn't click the video and didn't watch it. Because they picked it up as fact and mm-hmm. are running it as a story. You actually bother to check your facts. One, WWE is not even running live events this weekend as they're going overseas next week.
One.
Two, look at the video! It's a Rickroll! It's a Halloween prank! Come on! On people!
Yeah,
check your facts.
That comment is no longer posted on their Facebook page.
Well, I'm glad somebody had the sense to take it down after they probably realized they were an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, moving on into the actual news.
Oh.
I just had to get that out there.
Okay.
I saw it.
Alright, hold on. Kinkin, really? You really wanna go there? Really? Alright. Here you go. Now you all can experience the song. Just point that one out. Anyway.
Hey, it's an awesome song. There's nothing wrong with that.
Anyway, moving on.
Moving on to the real actual news of the week. I don't even know where to start. There's so much news. And a lot of it is TNA related. Do we just want to start with probably the biggest TNA story of the week?
Yeah, go for it.
Alright, so I would say maybe about this time last week, maybe I think actually over the weekend mm-hmm. last week, began to circulate. Sorry?
Last Sunday, it started.
Okay, last Sunday this started, that rumors began to circulate thanks to a clip of audio from the Brian Alvarez and
Dave Meltzer, Wrestling Observer Radio.
That TNA was up for sale.
Yes.
Okay. One, if you listen to the actual audio clip, nowhere in there do they directly say that TNA is up for sale. In the clip, they say that there are some interested parties that would perhaps like to buy the company, but all of that is being kept very hush-hush, and there are things happening within the company that would suggest that potentially the company might be sold, it might not, but there is definitely a power shift going on in the company right now, where you're seeing Jeff Jarrett coming back into the picture as an agent, at least. Another story that sort of ties into this is that Eric Bischoff has been sent home to sit out the remainder of his contract.
Correct.
So,
Which he was denying weeks ago that his contract was coming up, and the internet doesn't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, so there's that, and a lot of people took this as, you know, oh my god, TNA's going up for sale. I'm not denying TNA could be sold, but Dixie Carter is not hanging a sign on the door saying for sale. If somebody is interested in buying the company from the Carters, I'm sure they would be happy to sell it, as they've put 10 years and millions upon millions of dollars into the company, and they haven't really seen a return on the investment.
Right. Here's the latest. All right. The rumor going around last night, and coming from the Wrestling Observer newsletter, that there have been talks of selling the company. There have been people meeting in the TNA offices in Nashville about possibly buying the company. Will it happen? Probably within the next year, I would say. Someone that's going to invest purchase some of the company, all the company, who knows? That's what I'm sort of gathering. Now, people are putting out their WWE. It's not WWE.
No, it's not WWE.
Some people are saying Jeff Jarrett. It's not Jeff Jarrett.
No, it's not Jeff Jarrett. He doesn't have the funding, I would gather.
Some people are saying Viacom. It's not Viacom.
Well, do you know who it is?
No, but I know those three names have been discounted. So the whole Spike TV buying, you know, Impact, they're not doing it because of they've made their investment with Bellator, and they want to see how that pans out. They're not going to purchase another entity like an Impact Wrestling.
Correct, and as we all know, Spike already has their hand heavy in Impact in other ways.
Yes.
So
yes.
They're not going to go ahead and sink the money into it. But I just wanted to kind of address this because I've been seeing a lot of rumors flying and speculation. And it's like, you know, if you guys, again, fact checking, if you actually listened to the audio, it's like, yes, they are probably entertaining offers for the company. And if they can get a good enough price for it, they will sell. That is any company.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that Dixie Carter and her family are hanging a for sale sign on TNA and saying, to heck with it. The Carters will probably still maintain a portion of the company, but they're not going to sell outright unless they get a good enough deal on it.
Right. They know they're losing money, and they know they took a big hit. And they know Janice Carter is tightening the pocketbook, as it were, pulling the strings tighter as far as the money goes. And you can see TNA has changed their budget as a result. Is a result
right.
Because they're trying to sell? Maybe. Are they tired of putting up the money? Probably. But when you have to put up a lot of money to go live on the road, that's what happens. Maybe they want to be now for a couple of years. Who knows? It's business. Companies always sell. Would it, TNA being sold be good for them? Possibly.
It depends on who buys them. If they could get somebody that could really kind of help refocus the brand and maybe rebuild the brand or restructure the brand to I'm watching the football game and there's a guy in a Chucky mask with stuff running out of his nose. Anyway, if you could find somebody that would be willing to put the money into refocusing the brand in building it as opposed to just expanding, because that's the one thing the Carters have been dedicated to is expanding TNA as a company, but they've never seemed to really want to build a brand identity to TNA, as they've never really focused on marketing the company and using the assets that they have to move the company forward and build a name and a brand. They've been more interested in expanding it in the sense of bringing in bigger talent, of upgrading the equipment, of getting them a better TV deal, all these kinds of different things, but they've never really concentrated on building the TNA brand. They've still relied a lot on word of mouth and local advertising and that kind of thing, and it's not enough to really get people's attention. So if you can find somebody that's maybe willing to put the money into building the brand of TNA, especially as they're shrinking back to Orlando and going back into not the Impact Zone, but an improved Impact Zone, and rebuilding the company really to get back out on the road, that would probably be a good thing.
Oh, it would be a great thing if they're able to do that. What I told Lindsay the other day is they need someone who will buy it on the cheap, because that's a good thing, and then reinvest what they didn't pay for the company into the company and build it. You need someone with money to really promote the brand. You need an investor. No one who knows about wrestling just knows how to generate income for a business. The wrestling part of it, you hire the right people. There are plenty of people out there that know how to hire the right people to build a brand, marketing, etc. And that's what TNA needs right now. They need to promote the brand.
Exactly. And to be fair, I think as far on the wrestling end goes, they have a lot of the right people in place already.
At times, they do.
I mean, it throughout. I mean, generally, I think they have a good core there. They could use a little shifts here and there, but I think for the most part they have the right people where they need to be. And as they build the brand and they build a name and a certain either notoriety or you know, buzz around them, whichever you want to term, you could attract better people that are stronger for the company. Because nobody's going to want to go work for somebody that really doesn't have any buzz around them.
Correct.
And that's the problem for TNA right now, is they just don't have any buzz. So you need something that can generate buzz, which this is definitely doing. And then you need somebody that can sort of capitalize and seize that buzz. And say, yeah, you know, we're selling the company, this is who's buying it, and this is what they want to do with it.
And now, you talk about a way to create buzz. TNA currently is trying to do that, as I segue a story into this story, with the launch of Impact 365, their new marketing campaign, Where the Action Never Ends.
Am I the only one that's excited about this?
I'm excited for it. I'm a little hesitant for some people who get the camera and stuff, but I'm excited to see what they're actually going to be able to put out there. For those that don't know, they announced last Thursday they have a new marketing campaign Where the Action Never Ends, a 24/7 cross-platform programming. TNA brings fans closer than ever to the real lives of wrestling superstars. Here's how it works. Fans will see compelling cameras everywhere content infused into Impact Live on Spike TV every Thursday for the remaining 166 hours of the week until the next show. They will also have a chance to see many of the wrestlers they love and storylines they follow unfold as this exclusive film content during the week, and will be presented online at ImpactWrestling.com and on social media channels including YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, etc. So basically you're going to get little videos as they start to put out promoting the wrestlers. We've seen James Storm go for beer. We've seen Christopher Daniels pick out his Halloween costume.
Dude, that video was epic. Severely, amazingly epic. If you have not seen it, go watch it. It's like, you would figure Christopher Daniels out of everybody would take full advantage of this.
Right. They've partnered up with Universal Studios, their production group in Florida, to help launch this campaign. I'm excited to see where they take it. You're gonna be able to see different characters get more camera time than they normally do on an 82-minute show, as they point out. So, you know, if it's 2-minute videos here and there, because we talked about a couple weeks ago, we want to see more reality-style content. Especially when you had Joseph Park and EY doing their whole road trip. This is an extension from it. I'm looking forward to see what they put out there. Brooke Tessmacher twerking.
Didn't watch that. Don't need to watch that.
Dixie Carter as a webmaster. Whatever. It happens.
I want to go to the law offices of Park, Park, and Park.
That will be fun. Because you know they will do that at some point.
I want to go to Joseph Park's office. I'm putting it out there in the universe. I want to go to the law offices of Park, Park, and Park. Mm-hmm. I want to see this apparently very kinky secretary that Joseph Park has.
Who uses his iPad for a lot of things.
That she probably shouldn't be. But yeah, this is a really clever idea. And I think, you know, Joseph Park and EY doing the road trip was probably the test run for that. To see, you know, test the response, see what people said, whether it was good or bad, so that way they could tweak it just a little bit to get it to where they needed it to be. And right. I'm really curious to see where they go with this.
Oh, I am too. And coming out of things regarding Impact, Joseph Parks is doing a lot of road agent work. He's doing a lot of producing of the segment itself. So if he can have a hand in some of this, that'd be cool. Because some of the segments have been really well. The out of the ring segments that he's done well. I have a feeling he produced the road trip as well.
I have a feeling he did too, just based on what was done. I have a feeling that both he and EY had a hand in it. Oh dear. With 11 seconds to go in the fourth quarter, Miami has tied Cincinnati again, 20-20. It looks like we're headed to overtime, y'all.
Overtime.
unless the Bengals can score in the next 11 seconds.
We're going to overtime. Anyway.
But anyway, so yeah, if he had a hand in the road trip and if EY had a hand in the road trip, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing what else they can come up with and do, because it's something of, you know, like they said, you can get people that aren't on TV every week time where the fans see them. It's like, we can go to Joseph Park's office and see that. We can go have a beer with James Storm. You know, we can go spray tanning with Robbie E. I mean, we can do any number of things, and we get to see them do that. And that's stuff, at least for me as a fan, not necessarily those particular things, but that, you know, you're curious about. It's like, what are their lives really like outside of Impact Wrestling? What do they do? Like, what happens when they go home?
Right, you get to see them more of themselves. You can see Jeff Hardy as a father. As scary as that is, think about 3 years ago, and now Jeff Hardy is a father. You can see some of that on these videos. It's going to be cool. You're thinking about Jeff Hardy as a father now, aren't you?
I'm a little scared, not going to lie.
But yeah. It's going to be one of those things. It's going to have its kinks at the start, but I have a feeling they're going to do well.
I have a feeling they're going to do well with it, too, and hopefully it's something that they can expand it. Maybe we see storylines start to maybe play out a little bit on this service. Sort of go back to the old I Spy gimmick.
You really did like Paparazzi Productions.
I loved that gimmick. It was amazing.
Hey, you may get some of that, too.
You know what? It was innovative.
Yeah, it was. It was well done.
So, speaking of innovative, to kind of shift to WWE just a little bit, because I think that's the actual TNA news aside from Angle.
Which we'll get into later during the show.
Yeah, which we'll get into later during the show, because that plays into Impact. WWE has officially announced that the network is set to launch in the first quarter of 2014, I believe the end of February, is the target date for the official launch. This is not a drill, people. Repeat, this is not a drill. This came out from WWE themselves.
Stephanie McMahon revealed at the New York City Television Week that they are targeting at the 2014 first quarter launch of the WWE network anywhere between February and April of that year.
Okay. So it's a little bit more vague. I heard it was something like the 24th of February was when they were targeting, but
that was one of the rumor dates, yes.
Okay. So, fair enough. But yeah, so this is not a drill. This is not a drill. Commercials have apparently been shot for this. So, we'll see if it actually happens. I have my doubts, but if they can get the network up and running, this will be absolutely huge.
And here's the story to tie into that. Because they did their conference call today, their earnings call, and their stock is apparently the highest it's been in over a year. It's over $12.80-something right now. So if you're a stockholder, you made some money today.
Sell!
Sell high. Forbes Sports Money did a feature on the upcoming TV licensing deal that WWE is expected to sign with NBC Universal. Their current deal allows them to get $140 million a year. Pretty good money, right?
Not too shabby.
They believe that WWE could receive 4 to 6 times their current deal.
Wow.
Which would range into the NASCAR money of $4.5 billion over a 10-year contract.
It's insane.
The WWE, they even mentioned it during their conference call that they believe they're going to be signing a pretty good deal. If you think WWE's going to be ready for cash, they have a big television contract deal coming up. And yeah, they're going to be making some money here really soon if they don't already need it. But yeah, they're thinking about a network. They're going to sign new television contracts. Things are looking good for World Wrestling Entertainment, money-wise.
And that's good. They need it because, as far as I remember, the company is actually leveraged on the network. So it's probably a good idea that, you know, it's going to pay back that investment just a tad.
Yeah, the network's going to get up and running at some point. They're working on it. They're filming stuff again. They're doing something with Foley for the network. They got stuff in mind. They have a launch point. So at some point, we will see this network. In what form, you don't know. Whether it's online, on cable, it will be available. Maybe both at some point.
I guess so. And speaking, I guess I don't have a transfer point other than, you know, maybe availability in Stephanie McMahon, but there are rumors going around that, well, there are some creative shakeups going on right now in WWE.
There is a report out there. I'm not going to confirm it 100%, but I'll put it out there because it seems very reliable, that World Wrestling Entertainment has made a creative change, that Vince McMahon has more influence. He is no longer just overseeing things. He is now the head of creative, and Stephanie McMahon is no longer there in creative. She has the title still, but because of her on-air role and her motherly duties, she is no longer the filter before it gets to Vinnie Mac. Vinnie Mac is the now head of WWE creative.
Interesting.
And you can see the changes happening over time, and, well, as we saw Monday, the reset button in some sort of fashion happened with some storylines. Probably had a lot to do with Vince McMahon taking over and changing some directions for some talent.
Yes, and adding directions in some cases.
This is true. So, you better get on Vince McMahon's good side at this point. Is the best way to put it. If you're a talent in WWE, because, you know, Vinny's in charge, you better get on his good side.
I agree. I completely agree. So, cross your fingers on that one, and I can understand completely why, if it's true, Stephanie would be removed, at least temporarily, as the head of creative, just because it's obviously too much for her, and you never want to be booking your own stuff on TV.
And at the same time, if you think about it, she's been in charge, the head of creative, for over a decade. There comes a time where you run out of ideas for a while.
Yeah, and you just need to take a step back and recharge your batteries, and I completely understand that, and good on her.
I agree.
So, it's interesting if it's true, and as you heard us talk Monday, Raw was definitely up in the air for sure. We'll get into that a little bit later in the show, especially as it pertains to one Kane and Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, we'll get into that later on.
But let's see, I'm trying to go through all the stories that we have. And lastly, I guess for WWE, speaking of Kane and Bray Wyatt, there's a rumor, another rumor going around, that as far as the segments go, where all the performers are brought out on stage and they are berated by the McMahons, is not necessarily a popular segment in the WWE. A lot of the wrestlers, it's rumored, don't like these segments. As well, one, they're boring, and two, the babyfaces are being berated by the authority, which some feel isn't best for business.
Yeah, they gotta stand there and watch 15 minutes, like, can we not? Can we not? You're just gonna run us down for 15 minutes? Great. They're not saying anything to anyone in charge, they're just there's rumblings around that they're not as happy as with these segments as, well, other people are.
Well, you know, I'm sorry, you're getting paid a lot of money to stand there and take it, so stand there and take it. Sorry, I mean, I hate to sound like such a witch, but it's like, you're making millions, or I shouldn't say, so in some cases, some people are making millions of dollars to stand there and get berated. And it's like, you could pay me that kind of money to stand there for 15 minutes every week and get yelled at. I would be totally okay with that.
So, WWE, if you're hiring, Lindsay will stand there on the stage every week and get berated.
I will. I totally will. I will stand in the group of wrestlers and get yelled at. I will totally do that.
So there you go.
So transitioning out of WWE a little bit, kind of back into TNA, but not really. One of the big independent stories coming out is that Roxy of Voodoo Kin Mafia fame, among other things, is retiring. I believe her last match was actually tonight, or it's this weekend.
December 6th, she will be retiring from pro wrestling.
Never mind. Pole drives, they're a beautiful thing.
Yeah, she'll be retiring on December 6th after appearing for an upcoming Lucky Pro Wrestling show in Clinton, Massachusetts. She was Nikki Rocks in TNA, Roxy Laveau, the Voodoo Kin Mafia. She at one point got her head shaved in TNA. And she's going to be hanging up the boots, as it were, in December. So she had the talent, and, well, now she's hanging them up. So good on her. Moving on to the next stage of her life.
Congratulations to her. You know, wish her all the best in her future endeavors.
There you go.
I don't know. I have nothing. I really have nothing. And last but certainly not least, and this is going to tie into tonight's Impact recap, Kurt Angle seemed to have injured himself at Bound for Glory.
Yes, he suffered a torn knee cartilage on a missed moonsault spot during his match at Bound for Glory, and they played it up during the show tonight that he indeed did suffer the injury. So hopefully he can heal up and not fall back on other substances to get him through the pain of the knee injury.
Yes, so hopefully Kurt Angle is feeling better. He looked pretty good last week. He looked good tonight, which we'll get into. I say we kick it to break, and yeah. So when we come back, we're going to be talking about tonight's Impact Halloween special. What happened? Well, we'll tell you right after the break. You're listening to WildTalkRadio.com, The Rack, and we'll see you on the flip side.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW is pimping.
Every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hi, ha, is that Shell Station open? Ha, ha, ha. Daddy might have himself some cig. I just got across a fucking freeway that would kill me. Eight fucking lanes. Eight motherfucking lanes. Dude, the godfather of the stream retires. He just fucking loses the match and keeps on ticking. Fucking eight lanes, the motherfucking highway! Alright, if this place is closed, I'm gonna kill somebody. Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a guy of slightly darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know, I gotta run across fucking three lanes of highway now, goddammit. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 to my fucking name, so I'm gonna have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7. Fuck, this fucking better be open. I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway. They're not open. What the fuck? Are you sure you're not open? Hell yeah. Oh my god. Alright. Safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you gotta run again.
I do, because actually the fucking light's green, no one's coming, no one's turning, and I gotta go. That's some biz. I should have just crossed the other street, because now I gotta cross another street.
Steve,
man, somebody give me a goddamn... Ah, fucking Sunday, you can't buy beer. Wait a minute, what time is it?
It's 12:30.
I'm a goo. Ah, forget about it. All right, I'll just smoke my cigarettes and be fucking happy. Oh, no, that's fucking just perfect. Green lights just came on this fucking... about to plowed by fucking three 18-wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler. Man, I gotta light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas live midnight. We're as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah.
This is Showtime Eric Young, host of Off the Hook Extreme Catches, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Over at Memorabilia Lane. That's right, memolanepromo.com for all your memorabilia needs. And we are back with tonight's exciting Impact. And like us, it was their Halloween special where we had ghouls, goblins, tricks, and treats abounding.
Yes, yes, we did. And it was live-ish from Salt Lake City, Utah.
It was, and the crowd, I didn't get to see the show last week, or at least see all of it, but the crowd was definitely just as into it last week as they were the previous week, or this week, which is always helpful.
Which is really, really good. You want a hot crowd, especially after doing a 2-hour live show, and now coming in for another taping.
Yes, so we open Impact tonight with one Dixie Carter, who it was actually nice to be able to hear what she said because I couldn't hear her. She was being booed that loud, and it was overpowering the audio. So I could not hear what she was saying, so it was nice to be able to hear what she said. But it opens with one Dixie Carter in the ring, and, well, she had her sassy pants on tonight.
Yes, yes, she did.
Last week, AJ Styles showed his lack of vision, his mental aptitude with his ridiculous actions. I mean, I served that man the world on a silver platter. And what did he do? He just threw it right in my face. Well, guess what, AJ? Nobody, and I mean nobody, walks out on Dixie Carter. And you know what? From here on out, you do not exist to me, and you are no longer my world heavyweight champion. And as far as you being all cutesy and everything, stealing my world title belt, and might I add my car too? Well, you know what? You just take them. I don't want them anyway. I don't want them back. We'll call them a little gift for all your hard sweat equity, okay? Because if I had to guess right now, you have my world title around your waist, and you are going from trailer to trailer, trick-or-treating, saying, hey, I'm world champ. Everybody here agrees with me, but guess what? Guess what? You are not world champ. You are now no different than the millions of other little boys tonight doing the same thing with their toy belts. Because AJ, from here on out, it's just a costume. What I need, people, listen up, people. What I need is a real world champion. Someone who is great looking and with all the skills to help me make this company even bigger than it is right now. And I have come up with a way to find just that man. And that is going to be with an 8-man world title tournament that's going to happen over the next couple of weeks. Right now, I would like to bring out 7 men who are going to be fighting for this prestigious honor. They are all former TNA World Heavyweight Champion. Gentlemen, will you do me a favor and join me out on the stage right now, please?
So at this point, Lindsay's going to tell you exactly who's in this tournament.
We have James Storm, Samoa Joe, Jeff Hardy, Kurt Angle, Chris Sabin, Austin Aries, and Bobby Roode.
Right. So we have these 7 men in the tournament. And then, well, you need 8 people for the tournament. And, well, Dixie, well, she's going to address that right now.
We are missing 1 man who will be fighting.
Well, huge news from our TNA president, Dixie Carter, about the tournament to crown a new world heavyweight champion. 7 of the 8 up on the stage, up on the entrance ramp. And here's your man, the former world champion, Bully Ray.
Can I steal a line from you and say, shut the music off? What I was trying to say is we are going to have a gauntlet match tonight.
Whoa.
A gauntlet match tonight to fill that 8th person, that final slot in the world title tournament. Something none of you are going to want to miss.
You forgot one person. How am I supposed to win back my world heavyweight championship if I'm not in this tournament? Dixie, you're a smart woman, but I gotta ask you one question. Do you know who I am?
Yes, darling, I know who you are. You are the man that not only lost once, but twice to AJ Styles. You are the man that has caused all of this problem to begin with. So yes, I know who you are.
I am not to blame for those 2 losses. The first time was Earl Hebner's fault. And you know damn well, just like they know damn well, the second time was Ken Anderson's fault.
Bullet, whatever.
Bully Ray,
oh, come on.
Blaming this man, Mr. Anderson. Anderson on a mission to eliminate Aces and Eights, a mission to eliminate Bully Ray.
This is not his damn business. It's Anderson. He's caused enough problem for Bully. The hell is wrong with this guy?
And they continued to brawl as they went. To security tried to break them up as they went to break. Wait.
Are you serious? Did that really just happen?
All right, we're going to take a break from Impact for a second. That happened.
Okay, so for those of you that are interested in the foot of the balls, Miami and Cincinnati were in overtime. Cincinnati was at the basically 1 yard line, or actually I should say about 3 yard line. Something like that, basically at their own end zone.
They started at the 6. He dropped back, and he dropped back into the end zone, gets sacked in the end zone. Miami wins in overtime on a safety.
That's ridiculous.
This year has been the year of the safeties in football, and that just proves it right there.
Poor Andy Dalton. He's going to get a butt-chewing when he gets back to the locker room.
The offensive line should get a butt-chewing, too.
By the way, just to toss out this comment, white pants! Line the white pants!
Now,
love of everything holy!
Now, the thing is, the play is under review because they are going to check where his foot was when he got sacked. If his foot's outside the line, he could be, you know, really down at the 1-inch line and it will not end in the safety. So we'll keep you updated. So we'll see what happens. Anyway, back to Impact. So we have a tournament now. Anderson and Bully are not in the tournament, nor were they in the gauntlet later in the show.
No, they weren't. It seems that they are being kept out of the title picture for right now so they can have their feud. And I think that's the right thing to do.
It is a touchdown. A safety. The Dolphins win by a safety.
Luckiest win ever. Just pointing that out.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, back to the show itself. Yeah, they're going to keep them apart, keep them out of the world title scene. And when we came back from break, well, security kind of had Anderson in handcuffs again.
They did. And, well, as they're taking Anderson out, we see Bully Ray, or we see Brooke, I should say, yelling at Anderson, saying her old man's going to get him and whatnot. And then, well, Bully Ray kind of gets Anderson and proceeds to beat him up as he's handcuffed with the chain.
Couldn't see it all. It was very blurry.
There was a blurry spot right where Anderson was, so I'm not sure if it was like a stunt double or what it was, but yeah, they had Anderson in a blurry spot for some reason, and I don't know why.
I would assume there was a logo on that they couldn't show on the ground.
I would guess. I don't know, though. I'd have to honestly go back and watch the footage, but yeah, so there's a blurry spot, but basically Bully takes Anderson out, and they leave him for dead. We then go further backstage where they ask Garrett about what happened with Mr. Anderson. Garrett starts to give an opinion, basically says things are complicated right now, and Nux interrupts, shuts him up, and the two walk off together.
Interesting.
So, well, they've upgraded their relationship status to it's complicated. Okay, then.
Nicely put, by the way. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you. I try. After this, we get your first contest of the evening. Your tag team champions, the Bromans, are taking on Storm and Gunner in a rematch for the tag team titles. Storm and Gunner were fired up.
The Bromans
win by shenanigans.
You said they were fired up, and I was like, I thought you were going to say more than that, but apparently not.
No, it's called They're Fired Up. Pauses and waits for you to talk.
Usually there's more. Anyway, they were fired up, they had a fight. The match was fine. Bromans keeps the gold. Robbie grabs Storm's foot, let Jesse fall on top of him. 1, 2, 3. Storm loses a second time, but it's okay. Storm has his chance in the tournament.
I'm okay with this, honestly. You know, you've got Storm in the tournament. He probably won't win, But you've got him in the tournament, moving back into singles at least for a little bit. No offense to Gunnar, but this is fine. I am totally okay with this.
The modern day Viking.
Hoorah.
I think it was Taz who said that he should get some Minnesota Vikings. We should have worn him some Minnesota Vikings gears with the helmet and the horns.
Yeah. Yeah, Taz was on point tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Just pointing that out. Taz was really, really on point tonight. He was actually hilarious. I don't know what they gave him, but keep giving him that, whatever it is. After this, we see Sting and Dixie backstage. She's on the phone. Sting comes into her office. She then gets off the phone and she asks Sting about the gauntlet match. And well, how will he, you know, she wants him in the match. And well, how would he feel if that ban, you know, the one where he's not allowed to go for a world heavyweight title shot anymore, was temporarily suspended for tonight? And well, if he won, maybe permanently suspended?
Possibly, you know, what does that mean? Does that mean yes? Dixie was wondering, yeah, it means he's in.
Sting, well, Sting did tell her that, you know, he's earned everything and he's never, you know, he's never had this sense of entitlement, Dixie. She's like, what?
Nice little dig by the Stinger.
Yeah, so Sting is in the gauntlet match for tonight. So, the plot thickens.
And when the plot thickens, you need some investigators.
You need some top-notch investigators, and, well, that's covered by one Danielson Kazarian. They had their costumes for Halloween, and they were both dressed as Sherlock Holmes, complete with the hat, the coat, and the pipe, and magnifying glasses.
They were on for solve the mystery of the Abyss.
The on-again, off-again monster Abyss. But we first see them as they're investigating a staffer. And they made some assumptions about him. But yes, they are investigating the mystery of Abyss.
And the location of the TV title that was held by Abyss and it's disappeared.
So, they remember they have the TV title. Which I actually thought got retired.
No, it went into the Abyss with Abyss.
Ah, fair enough.
Can I go ahead.
Will they find it? We'll just have to see.
We shall see. Can I set up this next match?
Yes.
In one corner, it's a Bound for Glory rematch. In one corner, Ethan Carter III. And in the other, Norv Furnum.
A.K.A. the blue guy.
A.K.A. the blue guy.
That's what they were chanting at him, let's go blue guy, because nobody in the building knew his name, so it was like, let's go blue guy!
In a stellar Bound for Glory rematch, Norv Furnum put up a fight like no other man could. And then, after all he gave it all he had, but in the end, Ethan Carter III was too much for poor Norv Furnum.
Yes, and I have a funny feeling that this may not be the last we see of Norv Furnum, but we'll just have to see.
There is a video for the 360 Impact 365 gimmick with Norv Furnum and the other guy from last week.
And, well, they might just be teaming together.
Norv Furnum and the other guy.
Dewey Barnes.
Dewey Barnes, Norv Furnum, your next tag team champions in 2017.
It could totally happen. And it's All Right by Dewey. Ding! That was amazing. Oh my god. Anyway, after this, we cut to the backstage where Bobby is talking to a doctor, and it's not just any doctor. Oh no, it's Dr. Scott. Which I wonder if I had to stop, and I actually missed the entire rest of this promo because I actually had to sit there for a second and wonder if that is the legit guy's name.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they made a Rocky Horror reference.
Both.
Possibly. I don't know, but he's like, Doctor, Because he kept getting the name wrong. He's like, what's your name again? Oh, yeah, Dr. Scott. I'm like, wait, what?
A lot of people picked up on the reference on Twitter.
Yeah, I would hope so. If you don't know the reference of Dr. Scott, then you need to go watch Rocky Horror Picture Show right after the show. I mean it. You are lacking in your life if you have never seen that movie. Unless you're Matt Goldberg, and then you're not allowed to watch it until you're 25.
Okay.
Sorry. It's you know, he's young and impressionable.
Earmuffs.
Earmuffs. Eyemuffs.
Eyemuffs.
Anyway, Bobby's talking to Dr. Scott. They're reviewing Kurt's injury. You know, Bobby wants to make absolutely complete 100% sure that Kurt is medically cleared for tonight's match. You know, if there's any doubt in Dr. Scott's mind, you know, maybe he should act on it. To which there really isn't. But
he is medically clear to compete.
Yes. And after this, well, I don't really have a promo other than we had an ODB.
Tonight I'm getting my rematch against Gail Kim for my knocked up title. First of all, she didn't even pin my booty. Second of all, she had her little beastly friend take my ass out on the ramp. You know what? I'll take them both on tonight. Nothing like a little three-way for the ODB. Bam! Mm-hmm.
One delightful broad, there you are. And it appears you're smuggling two jack-o'-lanterns under there.
Francois, I believe I've deduced what ODB stands for, overly developed bosoms. Oh, ha! But the true mystery is this. We know of your relationship with Eric Young and his friend Joseph Pancake, but what do you know about their association with the monster Abyss?
Did he lay your ass out at BFG?
Ha ha! Hey, you put your hands on me one more time, we'll drop you like we did your lawyer friend last week.
Yeah, get it? Listen, Joseph Parkey can't be here tonight, but look, it's Halloween, and everyone knows it's a monster's favorite holiday. Who knows what could happen? Maybe you get left laying again. I got something special for you guys later. Nice jackets.
I got something special for you later, too. Trick or treat, yeah.
I'll get their jackets. What do you
think? Oh, yeah.
Looks like there's a little magic between the lovebirds.
A little bit.
But yeah, so, Eric Young has a surprise.
Joseph Pancake.
I know.
Overly developed bosom.
I know. They were so on tonight. It was not funny.
Apparently, JR was not happy with something we see later in the show. Neither was Lance Storm, but, you know, that they're harsh about things.
What could it have possibly have been?
We'll get there when we get there.
All right. Well, up next, it is the gauntlet match where, well, we had 7 total participants, if I could talk. Do you want me to just run down the names?
Yes.
All right. You had out first, you had Sting and Cass started off. Then we saw Nuxie enter the mix, EY, Daniels, Manic, and last but not least, Magnus. Nux was the first to go, followed by Manic, then EY, Daniels, and Kaz and Sting got eliminated at the same time, where you see Magnus pick up the victory.
Alright, the best line out of this whole thing from Taz is when Nux got eliminated. Taz was pissed. This group sucks. Why am I still wearing this vest? Oh, Taz, you were awesome. Yeah, why are you still wearing the vest? The group does suck.
The group's dead, dude!
You're only keeping it around because you can.
I'm trying to remember, is this the match where he made the comment about, you know, they're weird out here in Salt Lake? They're just weird, they've got 90 wives and something else? Mm. Was it this match or was it another match?
I don't remember which match off the top of my head.
Yeah, I don't know. He's just like, they're weird out here, man. They're weird out here in Salt Lake. They've got like 90 wives and you know, something else and blah, 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 blah. They're just weird. I'm like, I absolutely facepalmed laughing. I was just like, oh my God, it's amazing.
Yeah, it was during this match, just going by our conversation. Yeah, it was this match.
Yeah, it was this match. Okay. That's what I thought, but it was just like he said, like I said, he was on point tonight. Taz really actually kind of made the show tonight.
Taz was really well, if Taz was on point, as Lindsay said.
But yeah, so Magnus picks up the victory by eliminating his mentor, Sting, and well, there were some looks exchanged between the two, so something tells me that they're not done with each other just yet.
Nope.
Could Sting maybe cost Magnus his title? Could there be a little bit of sour grapes there? I guess we'll have to see.
Yes, we shall. So Magnus wins, and yeah, he's the eighth man, so... can you run down the people in the tournament again?
You had Storm, Rude, Aries, Angle, Hardy, and Joe. And
Saban. And Saban. And you include Magnus, so there's your eight. Pick a winner.
I'll go with my heart. I'll go with Storm.
I'll go Bobby Roode. I think they're going to put the belt, for now, on Bobby. Yeah, that's where I'm leaning. I'm going Bobby Roode.
Yeah, I'm going to go with my heart. I'm going to say Storm.
So there you go. So those are our picks for the thing that we'll probably eventually get wrong, because they'll both probably be eliminated next week.
Probably, yeah. Anyway, backstage, we see Kurt Angle. He says he's medically clear, but the doctors say he should take the night off. Kurt says, you know, he's going to go kick Bobby's backside.
He vows to destroy Bobby Roode.
Please don't. Bobby's pretty.
Yes, Kinkins, you are going to record this for posterity. Our picks, because we'll be wrong. But at least you'll have it written down so we'll remember.
Somebody needs to write it down so, you know, however many weeks from now, when they finally do crown the champion, you know,
I can come on the air and say I was right.
Yes, he can pontificate about how he was right. And I can pontificate about how hot Storm looked.
Okay.
Hey, I admitted it when they came out. Storm's not going to win, but I'm going with my heart and I'm saying Storm. Damn it, I want him to.
there you go. Alright, Dixie was asked about Magnus backstage, talking about the tournament. Dixie said, good for him, joining the cast of the former TNA member, TNA World Champions. And then they're going to announce brackets, and she's going to announce something extra. Something extra special.
The Wheel of Dixie.
I am absolutely terrified.
The Wheel of Dixie.
I am terrified. The Wheel of Dixie. That's just like... I should note, I was at the tapings last week, and for the taping portion of it, you don't see any of the backstage segments. So you don't see or hear any of this. They just basically tape the matches and any in-ring segment, and that's it. So the backstage stuff, didn't see any of it. So this was a little terrifying, to say the least.
Wheel of Dixie.
Boom, 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 boom. After this, we get Gail taking on ODB in a rematch of sorts for the Knockouts Championship, where, well, Gail wins with an assist from Lady Tapa.
Match was fine. Nothing overly special. Lady Tapa was, you know, with the distraction that Gail came to pick up the victory. Match was fine.
It was a really solid, decent match. Very entertaining. The girls were really over. Especially ODB. She's really over here, which is awesome. And, yeah, I mean, again, my only complaint with Lady Tapa is they need to get her a better ring outfit. Because the dress ain't cutting it.
No, sorry. No, the dress is not cutting it for her.
No offense to the dress, but it's really hard to look tough in that. Just... pointing that out. She just at least lost the skirt. Might be better. The long skirt, the train thing.
There you go.
Anyway, I'm going to be quiet before she hunts me down and eats me. Backstage, well, We get Kaz and Daniels one more time. They're upset that they lost in the gauntlet match, but that doesn't matter because they're going to get their hats, their coats, their pipes, and their magnifying glasses, and they're going to come out to the ring to tell us that, well, they've solved the mystery of the on-again, off-again monster. And we're going to get it right after the break.
And when they came back from the break, Christopher Daniels and Kazarian in their outfits were in there to present their findings. Daniels said, you know, he when they came out there, they smelled something. They could smell it, and it was underneath the ring. So Daniels goes underneath the ring to reveal his findings.
What? I do believe you found him, Francois. Look, he's round like abyss. He's heavy like abyss. Fear not, everyone. This isn't really abyss. It's just another talentless vegetable.
We should point out it's a pumpkin.
Let us give credit where it's due. We know that that pumpkin possesses more brains than the entire knockout locker room and everybody here in Salt Lake City.
Ah, well, for the first time, I gotta say, Mike, I'm happy to see Eric Young. Come on out, Eric!
That is Eric. On Halloween, Eric Young, dressed as?
Marathon Man, Dustin Hoffman.
Take another one.
Paul Lewis.
Attempt number three will be? Maybe a hit. Tag team partner of Eric Young.
Oh, ODB. No. Oh, Joey Park. He's got the Joey Park swimsuit on. Just small.
Swimsuit?
Sweatsuit, I said. Guy's a weirdo. God, you smell him when he walked by? He smelled like wet mayonnaise in the sun. Like bologna. Smell it. It's just crazy. It's Halloween. It's nuts out here. This went from bad to worse. It's coming up. Trust me.
Now look, I'm a scientist. There's absolutely no scientific proof that Halloween is a real holiday. There's just not. But this is what I'm going to tell you. It is the big guy's absolute favorite holiday, and everyone here is having the best time. So I got a hold of him, and he really, really wanted me to give his two favorite wrestlers, his favorite tag team, a message.
Oh.
All right, that's subtle.
Message from the big guy.
Eric Young is nuts. Coming out here, punching on the bad influence. That's a good way to get torn up. Must be drinking too much of that pumpkin juice or something. And Eric Young.
Quick flurry of offense by Eric Young. Immediately shut down. But
oh, no. Oh, no!
Oh, yes!
Wouldn't be Halloween without a monster!
And the monster Abyss, makes his return to Impact Wrestling.
Oh! Oh, my God.
We're going to bust right through. Double clothesline for bad influence.
Monster Abyss just creeps me out.
Oh, much like we saw, and Bound for Glory. Backhole slam for Kazarian. Face to face now with Daniels.
Well, I don't know if begging off is going to help you, buddy.
Run! Whoa, 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 whoa! Backhole slam for Daniels. Both members of Bad Influence taken down by the returning monster.
Trick or treat, Bad Influence. What a crappy.
And then you have, you know, a hesitation between EY and Joseph Park, and then, well, they ended up shaking hands, or as it were.
It's not Joseph Park, it's Abyss.
Oh, yeah, Abyss, right. You know, his brother, Abyss, yes. That's right.
His brother, Abyss. Wink.
Wink.
Wink, wink, wink.
Wink, wink. Yeah. So, there you go. Fun segment.
it was a good way to work Abyss into the show. It's like, we all knew Joseph Park was there. This week is Halloween. It makes perfect sense to see Abyss. And honestly, it was nice to see him. It really was, to hear the music and to see him come out, even though he absolutely terrifies me, and I actually shrunk down in my seat when he came out.
Joseph Park was not there this week. Remember that. Joseph Park was not there.
And I actually would love to see them develop, like, the split personality storyline more. Mm-hmm. To, like, actually have somebody begin investigating that and looking into that seriously. And it's like, well, you know, and maybe you do that in the 24/7 stuff.
Maybe. But as I said, Joseph Park was not there because he tweeted tonight, "Can't believe I missed my bro Abyss again. Should have known he always loved Halloween. I'm healing up nicely. Thanks, big bro."
Aww, they're such a good family.
Around the holidays, they should get together at some point.
You totally should. Maybe Thanksgiving. Just picture an Abyss family Christmas.
The Parks family Christmas.
Oh god, that'd be amazing. This needs to happen now.
I kind of agree. So, yeah, fun segment.
So, yes, fun segment. After this, we come back from the break, and the brackets for TNA's, basically for their tournament, are announced. And I thought I grabbed a picture of the brackets, but apparently I didn't.
Well, that's a good thing. I went to my Twitter. Anyway, the championship bracket goes as follows. Chris Sabin takes on Jeff Hardy. Bobby Roode takes on James Storm. They're fighting next weekend. They're the two people we picked. Oh, that couldn't have worked out any better. Austin Aries takes on Kurt Angle, and Magnus takes on Samoa Joe. So after next
I reserve the right to repick after Storm loses.
No, you don't. No. I reserve the right to repick when Bobby Roode loses to Storm.
Fair enough. We both reserve the right to repick, just in case.
Like, that couldn't have worked out any better. Anyway, so that's the tournament starting next week on the show.
But it gets better because, well, you know, Hardy and Saban are starting up, and this is when we get to see the Wheel of Dixie. And what is it? It's basically match stipulations, where every match in the tournament will spin Ye Old Wheel of Dixie, and they will get a stipulation for their match, so it ensures that every match will be different, which is, I kind of like that. And, well, Hardy and Saban spin the wheel, and, well, Harvey gets a stipulation that's definitely in his favor, as they get Full Metal Mayhem.
Full Metal Mayhem.
Dixie basically congratulates Hardy in advance and says, tells Saban, yeah, you're kind of screwed. But good luck anyway.
Best of luck. Bless your heart.
Yeah, bless your heart.
Oh, by the way, Kinkins, my network, my rules, take it for that. Okay? Cool. Anyway.
No, we reserve the right to repick if either Storm or Roode lose.
I am in charge right now. My rules. My final say. Correct. I'm in charge right now. So, my rules. We get the repick. Because Lindsay's probably going to lose next week.
Yeah. Just, I accept that. Hey, you know what I said? I'm going with my heart. I want to see Stormy win. He's not going to, but I want to see Stormy win. So, there.
No. Lindsay cannot pick as much as she wants. No. That's not how it goes.
Yes, I totally agree with that. I get to redo my picks the night of the pay-per-view after it happens, so I always win. That'd be amazing.
No.
No?
No.
No. So, wait. Oh! Ouch! Burn! So apparently I'm Hunter. I didn't think my nose was that big.
Apparently you have a big nose.
I have a stuffy nose, but it's not that big. But I guess we know who wears... Does that mean Rock wears the pants in the relationship?
Apparently.
I don't know. I'm all confused right now.
Confuzzled.
I've got puzzles right now, yeah. Anyway, moving on from this, we get your main event of the evening featuring Bobby Roode and Kurt Angle in a very, very, very good rematch from Bound for Glory.
Kurt Angle, Bobby Roode, what else can you expect?
Yeah, I mean, you seriously, you can't go wrong with this. There were counters on counters, and... Oh my god, Kane Kitten's corner! Corner! No candy for you! Or cookies! Or Christian! And if you're not careful, you and I will have that talk about Bray Wyatt and a certain part of his anatomy.
Laying down the law. Anyway, Angle did a toss from the top rope. They fell on the ground, and Angle was shaking and twitching and really wasn't moving, and he lost feeling in his body, it seemed like. Bobby Roode ended up winning the match by referee stoppage, and they checked on Kurt Angle as the show went off the air.
And what you didn't see, obviously because the show went off the air, is that they actually stretchered Angle out of the building. So, very nice sell by Angle. Good story, good job. You know, could we possibly see, you know, Kurt Angle forced to retire, or Kurt Angle begin to doubt himself because, well, this is the second time this has happened in a couple weeks. And you're damn right tonight's episode is flawless, because unlike somebody else that's not so flawless anymore, I got all 10 fingers.
Yeah, we'll see where they go with Angle. It's an interesting direction. Will he be even able to compete in the tournament?
Could they have to put somebody else in? Could, well, a Stinger have to go in the place of an Angle? I guess we'll have to see.
Yes, we will have to see. Tonight was a fun impact.
Tonight was a really fun impact. It was funny because it was like I was having trouble remembering the show, and then it's like it started and Dixie was in the ring, and it was Dixie came out to the ring, I should say, and it was like I pretty much recapped the entire first segment based on memory, which was awesome. And it was nice to be able to see it and actually hear everything, because like I said, on Friday night when we did our little mini show, I couldn't originally hear what everybody was saying because they do their audio differently, and the crowd was so hot, especially when Dixie was in the ring, that she just got booed out of the building.
They kind of lowered the crowd for the second taping so you could actually hear what she was saying.
Yeah, the crowd was very, very loud for this taping, and they were semi-loud for Velocity as well, but they sort of... Explosion. Whatever their web show, whatever their international show is.
Is this like 2003 again? Wow, Velocity.
Sorry, that's the first thing that popped into my head. Leave me alone.
We'll be back here more on Bite This.
We totally should call the show Bite This. Renaming the rack. It's Bite This now, damn it.
Anyway. Good show,
anyway.
Man. Good show.
Yeah. It was a good show. It was a fun show. It moved, and the hijinks were just enough. It was a really enjoyable show.
It was a really enjoyable show. It's a fun 2 hours. That's what you want from pro wrestling. Fun 2 hours.
Oh, y'all want to fire me. You know, let's see if y'all want to fire me, you know, as of next week. just pointing that out, because, well, things... may or may not be getting funky up in here. I'm just saying.
Just saying. It might be thebomb.com. You never know. It's Thrack. It's how things go around here, you know?
And, you know, we could also be here to save you.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. But I think we go to break now.
I think we totally go to break. So when we come back, we're going to be having our Tweet of the Week. We're going to be talking a little bit about Hell in the Cell, just to kind of give our rundown of it. I know we talked about it on Sunday, but just to give an overview for those listeners that didn't get to hear it. And of course, well, Bray Wyatt, the devil made him do it, but who's the devil? And so much more. So you're listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
And suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. From my laboratory in the castle east, to the master bedroom where the vampires feast, the ghouls all came from their humble abode to get a jolt from my electrode.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash. The zombies were having fun.
In a shoebox.
The party had just begun.
In a shoebox.
The guests included Wolfman,
in a shoebox.
Dracula, and his son. The scene was...
The following interpretation is brought to you by Taste and Good Form. Oh, you were not aware of this? Your posterior better contact someone at once!
Ladies and gentlemen, young people of all gender and ages, Taste and Decency proudly presents to you...
The home of the award-winning RackRadioShow.com. Here you'll be able to find information about the show, how to buy our one-of-a-kind merchandise, and, of course, all the great interviews we have done, including interviews with the likes of Trish Stratus, Christopher Daniels, and, of course, WWE superstar The Miz. Once again, that's RackRadioShow.com.
And if you're not down with that, we have two words for you. You're welcome!
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Looking for the latest in all things TNA wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNA Asylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and a first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
Live commercial. Mace plays video games tomorrow night, 8 p.m.-ish Eastern. Check it out. WWE 2K14. Live right here at WildTalkRadio.com.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns...
After 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moment... And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I, once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I don't
care what y'all say.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network. Keep listening, because stratisfaction is guaranteed.
How'd you do, I? See, you've met my faithful handyman. He's just a little brought down, because when you knocked, he thought you were the candy man. Don't get strung up by the way I look. Don't judge a book by its cover. I'm not much of a man by the light of day, but by night I'm one hell of a lover. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania.
Oh God, our chat room is having an odd conversation. Anyway, welcome back to the rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane. That's right, MemLanePromo.com for all your memorabilia needs. And, well, they may not have some Rocky Horror merchandise, but they could have something from Tim Curry. You never know.
You never know. And, yeah, that song was the coincidence of all coincidences, just depending on how things go. Because, yeah, that was set up pre-show in the chat room to start to go off about people in dresses. And there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, so totally. Thank you, chat room. Thank you for the brilliant setup, yes. So, little Rocky Horror, because, you know, it is Halloween, and it is our spooktacular.
It is our spooktacular, and we have and one more song to go to close out the show, if you're paying attention.
Yes, and I know what it is, because I picked music. So, you're welcome, by the way. I picked the music. You're welcome.
You're welcome, America.
America. And I'd also like to give a great big shout out to the folks over at TeenAsylum.com. I'm sorry I didn't give you a shout out when we were doing Impact. I completely forgot. So, my bad. I am totally sorry. So, go check out TeenAsylum.com, the haven for TNA fans.
Follow them on Twitter as well. They've been very active on the Twitters as well. So, it's at TeenAsylum on the Twitter as well.
Yes. And now, on that note, we're going to take a little bit of a break from the wrestling news and talk and have a little fun, because, you know, we like to have fun on this show, as it is apparent, and do our favorite segment, which is Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace, until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. Until I found Twitter, ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
I go first?
Yeah.
Because you have a lot?
I didn't realize how many I actually had. So, anyway, go first.
All right, mine starts out with a picture, so here it is for the chat room. And for Rock as well, because,
Is it the baby eaters?
Yes, but you get it anyway, so hush. So, this starts out with Caitlin and Big E. Caitlin! In reference to the baby eaters, this is seriously making me consider having babies. To which Big E responds, now you're just asking for the I'll put a baby in you tweets. Caitlin replies with, how does that work? Like a stork? And Big E goes, well, dear Caitlin, when a man finds a woman with big hips, a thin waist, and an ample bosom, ... Caitlin then goes, wait, Big E Langston, I already learned this from Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Because baby got back.
Baby got back, yo.
Oh. Anyway, continue, please.
Portia Perez. Halloween, just one more day of my life filled with drunk people and spandex. Caitlin again. Somebody tweets her, Virtual Caitlyn's spear just froze my PlayStation. Hashtag WWE 2K14. To which Caitlyn replies, it happens to a lot of guys. And finally, Dixie Carter, because Sassy Dixie is absolutely amazing. If you see AJ Styles with my stolen title belt trick-or-treating tonight in the trailer park, just pat him on the head and say, bless your heart.
Aww.
Sassy Dixie. Sassy Dixie is genius.
It is.
Anyway.
My turn?
Yes.
Dolph Ziggler, congrats, Big E Langston. In 1 week, you've become a major player. If you love something, set it free. BRB, off to my dungeon to untie someone.
Ha!
Fake Sports Center. Source. Brett Favre to the Rams fell apart because Jeff Fisher didn't have Snapchat. Because if you remember, Brett Favre showed his penis to a girl on text. Anyway. AJ Lee, sometimes I just look around, take everything in, and think, boy, it'd be really easy to poison me. Bully Ray, wanted to be Tommy Dreamer for Halloween. Don't think I can gain that much weight and lose that much hair by October 31st.
Ouch.
Not Bill Walton. Chris Brown was arrested for assaulting a man. Obviously, these are bogus charges, because we know Chris is too scared to do that.
Ooh.
Mick Foley, with my potential legal name changed to Michael F. Hell in a Cell, my son Hubert H. Foley would become the new Triple H. Hubert H.H. in a Cell.
I just facepalmed.
Shawn Michaels. 4 hours sleep is not even close to what I was hoping to get. Time to get a workout in and off to work again. Maybe in a Kevlar vest. Smiley face.
Oh, Sean, you're adorable.
Someone says to Sean, oh, what a shock. Same old shit, different day. No wonder ratings are bad. Boring. Shawn Michaels replies, thankfully, folks like you can't help yourself, boring or not. You'll always watch. You can't help it. Smiley face. Someone tweets Shawn Michaels, well, at Shawn Michaels, we know you're a Christian. Maybe you should reread the story of Judas. Shawn replies, suppose we should be angry at all the actors who've played him over the years as well. Oh, and the guy who plays Satan. Smiley face. Continue. Shawn Michaels retweeted this. Someone said to him, you son of a bitch. Obviously, I don't want to encourage this language, but is it bad that I find these hilarious? No, Shawn. They're hilarious. And then someone replies to that, people are just tired of paying $60 for all these non-finishes. Shawn replies, there was a finish. If you're going to use net talking points, learn to use them correctly. Helps your, quote-unquote, credibility. This is awesome, Shawn Michaels. Technically, if you've encouraged my hijinks for 25 plus years, so sort of, kinda, you all have some culpability in all this. Hashtag, I'm just saying. Shawn was brilliant on Twitter. If you haven't, you don't follow him, you should, especially this week.
Shawn's having fun on Twitter.
Fake Sports Center. Fantasy update. Romo targeted 4 times by Dez Bryant. Tantrums. Completed all 4. Bryant also threw 2 tantrums at Ware. Completed 1. Fake Sports Center. If World Series Game 5 doesn't end with a midget falling for the hidden ball trick, it wouldn't be surprising. Andrew Goldstein, the former WWE writer. Sounds like Cena had surgery on his urban hip-hop voice too. Hashtag Raw. He goes, guys, after this match, I think WWE is finally ready to go with John Cena as its top guy. Hashtag Raw.
Oh, Jesus.
Someone tweets Shawn Michaels, your right arm is now officially Romo-like. Shawn replies, LOL, put me in, coach.
Oh.
So Kaylin replies to Josh Matthews, who asks, you know, why is your cell phone wallpaper a picture of me? She replies, well, Josh Matthews, you're my role model. A strong, confident, sweater vest wearing reporter. Hashtag, you're my Veronica Corningstone. Less busty.
Oh, Renee, you're so adorable. I kind of have a girl crush on her, I'm not going to lie.
Big E Langston, WWE 2K14 is officially out, thanks to a WWE Games played Sunday. The virtual yet-to-be-released me is more jacked than Ryback. So I'm good. Not Bill Walton. Hashtag NBA Halloween costumes. Evidently, Andrew Bynum is going as a basketball player. I know, I can't believe it either. Yes, he actually played basketball after missing all of last year. You suck, Andrew Bynum. Not Bill Walton, Andrew Bynum playing. Sixers destroying the Heat. What's next? Carmelo Anthony passing the ball? I'm so confused right now. Spike Eskin, after last night's Sixers game where they beat the Heat. The question is not whether the Sixers can sign LeBron. It is whether we can find a roster spot for him. Not Bill Walton. Hashtag Halloween costume. Tim Tebow will dress up as an NFL QB. It's always too fun to go as something you can never be the other 364 days a year.
Oh, burn.
And I'm going to get hate for this last one, so I'm just putting that out there right now. Not Bill Walton. There's some bad child abuse going on in my neighborhood for Halloween. I saw multiple kids dressed up in Dallas Cowboy gear. Hashtag, I am appalled.
Ouch.
And that's not actually Tweet of the Week. I have one more because it's not in my actual favorites because it was tweeted at me.
Oh.
I go, EY is gone. Hashtag Impact Live. Showtime EY Beard goes, me and EY got some chick satisfying to do.
Oh, jeez.
Now that's Tweet of the Week.
Well played. Very well played.
Hey, I didn't tweet it. I just saw it on Twitter.
Yeah, but you saw it on Twitter and you went for it with the distinct purpose of, you know, knowing Kane Kittens would be listening.
Maybe.
Yeah, don't lie. Just don't lie.
Again, it's just things you find on the Twitters. So that's why it's Tweet of the Week.
So now, we're going to get a little bit into Hell in a Cell, just kind of, I guess, I don't know, do you want to hit all the main matches, or do you just want to go match by match a little bit and do a real quick rundown of it?
Let's go match by match, if I could talk, and just go quickly through it and see where it gets us.
All right, well, on your pre-show, you had the WWE Tag Team Champions, Cody Rhodes and Goldust taking on the Shield in Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins and the Usos.
The match was, you know, fine.
It was a match. It was a good match. I mean, it was nice to see tag team wrestling featured like that. Because it's like, wow, they actually have three good tag teams they can do that with.
I know, right? How about that?
Who the fuck that?
Tag team action, what?
What? The belts mean something? What?
Said what now? It was a good opener to the show.
It was. It was a really nice opener to the show. It allowed, it kind of set the tone for how the rest of the show was going to go, which is good. And, well, it allowed for some other things to be set up because, well, we had Big E Langston managed to get a match with Dean Ambrose.
And then they ended up giving each other stitches as a result of the matchup they had, which saw Big E spear Dino to the floor and almost kill him.
Yeah. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. The tag team match wasn't
on the pre-show. That was the opener, not the pre-show.
Sorry. But it was still a good opener of the show.
Good opener. And Dino, Dino and Big E, they made each other bleed. They're hardcore.
Yeah, they had to get 7 and 8 stitches, I think, respectively.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, good for them. Very proud of them. I mean, they had a really, really good match together.
Right.
And again, it's not to overhype him, but I swear to God, Dean Ambrose can have a good match with anybody. He really can. And that's not to discount Big E, because Big E is good as well. But Dean has this ability to get in the ring with people and always have a good match with them.
All right.
Without fail.
All right. Put him in the ring with Great Khali, and we'll talk.
Book it, WWE. Book it.
But you mentioned the pre-show. That was Kofi and Damian Sandow.
Yes. In a very, very nice contest. Nothing to really write home about. The match on Raw between Sandow and Cena was better. But still a very, very solid opening contest.
I agree.
Wouldn't you agree?
I agree. Solid opening. Solid opening pre-show match. Damian Sandow picked up the victory. You're welcome.
Hallelujah. Yeah. So, after this, we move on to the second, I repeat, second tag team match of the evening. And no, we're not going in the order of the show. We're going on kind of in the order of WWE.com. Because, yeah, I give up.
They're all confuzzled as well.
Yeah. Los Matadores with their flippy bowl taking on the real Americans.
Americans. I was disappointed. They didn't swing the bowl.
They didn't swing the bowl. The bowl didn't interact with Renee Young the entire night. Very depressed. Because it is hilarious when the bowl chases Renee Young everywhere.
But Los Matadores win.
Yes. No real surprise there.
Not shocked.
Not shocked, but in kind of a shocker of the evening, we saw AJ Lee take on Brie Bella for the Divas Championship. And, well, AJ retained.
I was glad to be wrong.
Oh my god, yes.
The match was fine. We saw a little bit of running into Bella's at one point. But match was fine. Nothing too overly special between the two. Solid wrestling, which you could say about the entire show. Solid, solid wrestling. And AJ Lee holds on to the belt as the premiere of Total Divas is only 10 days away.
Yeah. So, very excited for the return of Total Divas. But I was very, very happy to see AJ Lee retain. It was a good feeling. And one thing I have to compliment, and we've said it before, but I'll say it again, is Brie Bella has definitely stepped up her game in the ring, and you can tell she's improved leaps and bounds. She takes a lot of risks now, whereas as opposed to before, she wasn't. And she's taken some pretty hard bumps, some pretty risky moves, so good for her for doing that.
Yeah, she was fragile at one point, and now she's busting her ass, and it's all compliments to her and her training partner, Mr. 500-foot square house, Daniel Ryan.
Hey, don't knock the 500-square-foot house. People got dreams.
I know. He has big dreams of having a 500-foot square house.
Are you really surprised?
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at all. I'm just putting it out there for people who did not hear this revelation. He wants a 500-foot square house. He's into this the small house movement. And he wants it on 20 acres. So do the size comparison. There you go.
Again, not surprised.
Not surprised. He wants to be in the middle of nowhere. And no one can touch him.
Pretty much. And, well, we'll see if Brie goes for that.
She doesn't want any part of it. I feel like they're going to have this 20 acres. They're going to have this really big, nice house. And Daniel Bryan is going to have this small house that he lives in.
Basically, it's going to be, you know, his when he does something wrong house.
How go work in my house.
Yeah. That's pretty much, I think, how it's going to go. But we'll see. But after this, we see Fandango and Summer Rae in her wrestling debut defeat the Great Khali and Natalya.
Summer Rae is showing her skills. Natty carried her. Don't let Fandango and the Great Khali in the ring together anymore. Yeah. Summer Rae picked up the victory, her first ever victory in pro wrestling.
I was really very impressed with Summer Rae.
I was impressed with her. I was impressed with her on the pay-per-view. I was more impressed on Raw.
Yeah, she did much better on Raw because she was in a singles match with Natty, and again, Natty had to carry her. But Natty didn't have to carry her to the degree that she has had some of the other girls. Summer's got skills.
You can tell they've been... I don't want to say she didn't have to carry her. They've been working together, and you can tell.
Yeah. They know each other well enough to where they can put together a really good match. Mm-hmm. It's very entertaining. And I was very impressed with Summer. I look forward to seeing more from her and watch her grow and develop as a performer. Because if she's the way she is now and she's just starting out, the more experience she gets, the better she's going to get.
Correct.
So, bravo to Summer. Congratulations. Congratulations for Natty. Thank you for what you did. Appreciate it. Bravo.
Bravo. Bravo. Bravo. Bravo. Bravo. What's next?
Well, let's see. We're going to talk about the first Hell in a Cell match of the evening, where CM Punk defeated Ryback and Paul Heyman in a handicap match. Basically, he beat Ryback, and then it was Wacka Heyman.
Wacka Heyman on the Cell. They had a basic match in the Cell, nothing too spectacular. Used table and stuff, but the main course of the evening was to see Wacka Heyman on top of the Cell and the promo he cut beforehand, and the bad driving by the guy who was driving the scissors cart.
Now, I hope somebody whacked him upside the head when he got backstage.
Maybe it wasn't his fault. Maybe there was something in his way.
I don't know. It didn't look like he was looking where he was going half the time. But yeah, it just... The scissor lift was the most comical part of this, because the guy that was driving the scissor lift that brought out Heyman was basically almost driving like he was drunk. Seriously, he was like literally doing an S pattern to the ring, which took, of course, twice as long because the dude couldn't just do a straight line. So, you know, you have Heyman covering for this and cutting a promo on CM Punk to cover for the fact that this dude is taking forever to get to the ring. Which was kind of awesome.
It was kind of awesome, yeah.
But Punk and Ryback had a decent match, and good for Paul Heyman for getting up on top of the Cell, especially since he's afraid of heights. And he looked like he was going to like have a heart attack the entire time he's up there.
Yeah, he was hanging on to that rope for his life.
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah. And he's, you know, hoping and praying and wishing and worrying, you know, that everything goes right. And my only concern, and I understand why they couldn't do more, was I wanted to see Punk get a little bit more revenge on Heyman. Just with the way that they built it. I know what they did was completely adequate, but the way that they built this, I would have liked to have seen more happen to Heyman, just because of what Punk has been saying. You know, and how they built this feud, where it actually led to a legit Hell in a Cell match, where it needed a Hell in a Cell match to sort of finish it off. I would have just liked to have seen that from Heyman and Punk, where Heyman gets a little bit more, but I understand why they couldn't. And it's totally fine. I will accept completely what they did. It was fine. It was a good brush off. They wrote Heyman off TV.
Sad face.
You know, it could basically prove what we already knew, which is Ryback is irrelevant. And if it wasn't proven Sunday night, it was definitely made clear Monday night. And yeah. Just this was a nice brush off, and well, Monday night we saw where they're going to go with Punk potentially from here, which we'll get into in a minute. And but yeah, this was a good match, definitely worth the payoff. You know, CM Punk finally gets his revenge, at least the start of it, on Paul Heyman. So we'll see if there's any more of this or if they're done.
We're gonna have to find out. I assume things are done from here, but you never know with WWE.
Yeah, you never know. You really don't. And it all depends on what Heyman decides to do next, because obviously Heyman won't come back, I think, until Brock comes back.
That's the rumor going around.
Yeah, that you keep Heyman off TV until Brock comes back, and then you can do whatever you want. But after this, we see John Cena defeat Alberto Del Rio to capture the World Heavyweight Championship.
We were wrong here because we wanted Del Rio to win and tell a better story. But John Cena is your new World Heavyweight Champion. Good match. He worked over the arm a lot. Good match.
Yeah. Pretty much. This is where Rock is going and clip.
I'm not saying a word. So if I talk, I'm gonna laugh. Let's move on.
You can mute yourself. He's just like, no. Anyway, yeah, we saw Super Cena come back. I wanted Del Rio to win just because I thought they could have told a much better story with Cena, but WWE is just completely against making John Cena look weak for longer than 5 minutes, which kind of sucks. And, yeah, so Super Cena flies in, he captures the World Heavyweight Championship, and he moves on from, you know, there. Which, eh.
Yeah, they move on from there, and they had a good match with Damian. He had a good match with Damian Sandow, which unfortunately he was unable. Damian Sandow was unable to beat John Cena for the World Heavyweight title on Monday Night Raw. I'll probably get more into that Sunday night on Wrestle Talk Radio.
Fantastic match! If you haven't seen it from Raw, go watch it.
We'll get more into that Sunday because we're gonna be doing Wrestle Talk Radio with Mace Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern. You don't want to miss it.
Right. Exactly. Can't wait. Because, well, you and Mace could talk all about WWE 2K14.
We're going to talk all about WWE 2K14 as well on the show, probably. And we'll probably talk about some of it as we do, as Mace does live streaming tomorrow night around 8 p.m.-ish Eastern.
Can't wait. By the way, Rock's commentary as he was playing the streak mode, hilarious. Just pointing that out.
Anyway, back to the pay-per-view.
Your last and final contest of the evening is, of course, Randy Orton defeating Daniel Bryan in the Hell in a Cell match to capture Vacant's WWE Championship. We all cry because the era of vacancy is over.
Aww.
Which means the Twitter, although the vacancy has moved from WWE to TNA, so Vacant lost the title one night and he picked it up the next, so, or tonight, so Vacant is now your TNA champion.
Yes. And
yay, Vacant!
And someone did a costume, which was tremendous, of Vacant for Halloween.
Genius. Whoever did it, I don't know who did it, I just saw the picture of it. If you were in within the sound of my voice and you dressed up as Vacant for Halloween, I commend you so much. Points for creativity.
Mm-hmm.
Serious points for creativity. Well done.
With Lindsay on that one. So, Hell in a Cell, Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton, Shawn Michaels with the super kick. I really enjoyed this match. I enjoyed the finish. As much as I wanted Daniel Bryan to win, I knew what was best for business, and legitimately it was Randy Orton winning the belt and going from there.
Yeah. It was, and we said it last week on the show when we did the pick'em, that, you know, it's, you want Daniel Bryan to win, because you want to see Daniel Bryan get that moment. That's what you want in your heart, but in your head, you know, Randy Orton is probably going to win. Because, honestly, there are more options available to Randy Orton. As far as the title are concerned, you can take him in multiple different directions. And also, you can cool Bryan off for a little bit and then heat him back up for Mania season.
And he has some interesting things to get into coming up. But yeah, grade the pay-per-view. I thought it was B-.
I would stick by it and say it was a B+, A-. It was a very enjoyable show. And I mean, there were some surprises, which was good, but there a lot of things that we expected to happen, but, I mean, you look at the way that the show was paced, you looked at the way that everything was laid out, and it made sense, it flowed, there wasn't a lot of drag time, there weren't a lot of pointless matches, everything made sense on that card, everything, pretty much everything deserved to be on that card, and if you didn't think it didn't deserve to be on the card, by the end of the match, you pretty much figured, yeah, okay, that should have been there because that makes sense. So they did, it had a really nice flow to it. It was just, it was an all-around good pay-per-view. Which I think it was, they put, you could tell that they put more effort into Hell in a Cell than they did Battleground.
That's for sure. Now, there's one thing we didn't mention.
Hmm.
So on the pre-show, The Miz challenged Bray Wyatt for a fight.
Oh, yes.
And then that saw the return of Kane, who took out the Wyatt family, and, well, also, then Kane took out The Miz. The Miz and Kane had a match on Raw, Kane won, and Miz got destroyed.
Yes.
And then Kane took off his mask and became a monster and under Steph's control. Now.
And he tweeted.
He's on
twice.
Twice. It's scary. They should have just been the tweets of the week. That should have been tweets of the week, and that would have been it for there. Then, at that point, we go back to what happened on Raw. Daniel Bryan got his revenge on Shawn, and then got taken out by the Wyatt family. Yes, you heard me correctly. Mm-hmm. He got taken out by the Wyatt family.
He got beat up by Rowan and Harper, and then Bray Wyatt took his head off with a case. A rolling case. A big rolling case.
Mm-hmm. And then, if that wasn't enough, CM Punk beats the Ryback, and then all you hear is... And they attacked CM Punk.
Who, to his credit, tried to stand his ground with a kendo stick, but sadly it was just not enough.
I'm going to leave this in the background, because it wouldn't be a Halloween show without playing this music.
No, it really wouldn't. But I'd like to point out, by the way, before we really get into this discussion, that this particular moment made the Bray Wyatt / Husky Harris fandom explode on Twitter. Especially for what Bray said as he got into the ring. He said, "It's so nice to meet you. I've been waiting to meet you," or something to that effect. "I've been waiting for this. My name is Bray." And not a lot of people are going to remember this. The fan girls remember, though, where there was a moment where CM Punk was inducting Husky Harris into the New Nexus, and they basically whipped him on national television. So yeah, there's also been hints dropped by Bray Wyatt when he was in NXT that he is, in fact, Husky Harris and Bray Wyatt are the same person, and that Bray Wyatt is simply a demonically possessed Husky Harris.
Yeah.
Sorry, I had to go into all that and explain it, but yeah, so this moment right here is why the fangirls exploded.
And it led to this question. He said the phrase, "The devil made me do it." So the question is, who is the devil?
There's been a lot of speculation, at least online from what I've seen, that it's Paul Heyman, because everybody's going, oh, well, Paul Heyman said he's the devil himself. And, on the pay-per-view, and so it's like, oh my god, it's Paul Heyman. And, it makes sense because he took out CM Punk, but at the same time, they also took out Daniel Bryan.
Right.
And it's, as we've been kind of talking about off and on, as we do with Bray Wyatt, that the Wyatt family has been targeting people who stand up to the authority.
Which has led to many speculating that the devil himself is the one and only Triple H.
Or could it be somebody else?
And that's the reason for the question. Many ultimately believe Triple H will be behind the one sick in the Wyatt family after their enemies like Daniel Bryan and the like. But what if it isn't Triple H? with the way they're trying to bring back Vince McMahon, it doesn't seem like it would be him who's the devil, because he's already been the higher power, so I don't think he really wants to be the devil as well.
Well, he already faced God.
He's already faced God. I think he's had his run with them spiritual creatures, I guess.
Bray Wyatt? Sorry. Bray Wyatt said a couple weeks ago that, you know, she is the driving force, that he is the hammer, but she is the one that, that, you know, basically tells him where to put the nail.
Mm-hmm.
And we've heard a lot about Sister Abigail, and he keeps making references to really a higher female power. And one of the things that we've kind of discussed, I don't know if we actually discussed it on the show or if it was just off show, was the possibility of that higher female power turning out to be Stephanie McMahon, who is in fact manipulating Bray Wyatt into doing what she wants.
Right.
By, you know, seizing this Sister Abigail, you know, persona and basically tying into that, that whoever Sister Abigail was, if she's in fact a separate person, and really manipulating Bray Wyatt with that, that memory or that, that persona.
Right. And no one's ever said the devil has to be male. Just pointing that one out. So it could be Stephanie McMahon as the Sister Abigail type figure. She could be, in fact, the devil.
And that would be something that I would actually want to see. Because we've seen Stephanie manipulating other people, and it just, it kind of makes sense for her to be the one telling the Wyatt family where to go and what to do. Because right. They're obviously, they are not directly a part of the authority, but if she has Bray Wyatt under her thumb, then it's something of he's easily controlled, and by that, you know, and with him being easily controlled, then Harper and Rowan are obviously easy in control because they follow whatever Bray says. So Bray's the one you've got to keep in line. As long as you can keep Bray in line and keep Bray happy, then they'll pretty much do whatever you want them to do.
Right, and a devil would also control creatures such as monsters, and now that she has a monster under her control, it would sort of make sense that she is the devil.
Right, and remember, Bray, if you pay attention to his Twitter, Bray Wyatt said that Kane wasn't targeted, he was chosen.
Right, so if you tie it all together, Stephanie chose Kane to bring him back to the monster. Stephanie chose Kane for Bray to go after to bring the monster back out of Kane. And that's sort of what we're seeing from here, because it is best for business. Kane's the monster. And now the Wyatts did their job. They brought the monster back out of Kane. Whether it was abducting him, knocking him out, or just in general bringing back the Inferno type match with the Ring of Fire match, bringing that side out of him. That side's back. The monster is unleashed. It all kind of ties together that Stephanie McMahon is the devil herself.
Yeah, which would be really cool to see, to have Stephanie assume that role.
It would be a different role. It would be something different. And they're not saying there is going to actually be a person who has turned out to be a devil. We're just speculating here. But it would be cool if it was. And it would just show what kind of authority the authority actually has over its talent. Kind of control they have.
Right, which also kind of leads to what happens when the authority loses control, because if Stephanie is the devil herself, or if it even turns out to be Hunter, or both of them, then it's something of what happens when they lose control of the Shield, what happens when they lose control of the Wyatts, what happens when they lose control of Kane.
Yeah, because at some point, monsters become unstable.
Yeah, and at some point, it's like because it's like, if you think about it, they had Big Show under their thumb, but eventually Big Show got tired of it and revolted. Kane is not the most stable person when it comes to taking orders. And he'll take them for a little bit, but once you piss Kane off, Kane goes out on his own.
Kane does go out on his own. But at the same time, Kane is also doesn't have as short of a fuse as other monsters, because if you think about it, way back in the day, going back in time, Kane was a monster controlled by Stephanie and the corporation.
He was. He totally was. But I think as Kane has gotten older and wiser, I think his fuse has maybe gotten a little bit shorter.
Maybe a little bit. Not by much.
And it also depends all on how it plays in with certain matters, such as friends, such as family.
This is your Taker reference of the evening.
Yes, you know, as if starting the show with him wasn't enough. Well, it's like if Taker were to stand up to the corporation, and, you know, Kane was forced to go after Taker, or the Wyatts were sent after Taker, what would that do to Kane?
That'd be interesting.
You know, would Kane tolerate it, or would he stand against them? I mean, these are questions that all need to be asked. And, you know, this is all purely hypothetical.
Of course.
Because, you know, TJ Omega is in a car on his way to Tampa, so he's not going to hear this.
Well, he could always download the podcast and tell people tomorrow.
He could. He totally could. But I think he's going to be a little busy.
So we need a new mole for the weekend?
No, we don't need a mole for the weekend.
We don't? Okay.
No. I think we're good.
We're good? We're good?
I think we're good, yeah.
Anyway.
But anyway, and also kind of getting back to really the original topic, which was, you know, the devil made me do it, Bray Wyatt really attacking CM Punk and Daniel Bryan, which the rumor is that this is going to lead to a Survivor Series match between Punk, Bryan, and either one or two more partners of their choosing.
Probably. It's probably going to be a 4-on-4 match, the Wyatt family and probably a person against Bryan, Kane, and Bryan, Punk, and two others.
And this is where I kind of ask, you know, for this match in particular, you know, on the Wyatt side at least, would you see Kane? Because it wouldn't be a member of the Shield.
Wouldn't be a member of the Shield.
Wouldn't be Orton.
Wouldn't be Orton. I could see it being Kane.
You know, how would that work? Because, well, Kane tussled with the Wyatts, but didn't quite beat him up, so could they play nice together?
That could cause a downfall between with that pairing. Can he get a... He doesn't like the Wyatt, but can he get along with them for where the betterment of the business?
Well, actually, we don't know how he feels about the Wyatts, at least about Bray, because if Stephanie can control Kane, then I would bet Bray would be able to as well.
You never know, because you also want to set Bray on fire. We haven't got that explanation. But point being is, I could see that as a foursome. On the other side, I couldn't tell you who the four would be, the other two would be.
I see it being Bryan, Punk, Miz, and, I don't know, Kofi?
They all have tie-ins. I don't know if Miz and Kofi kind of sort of work there. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure. Especially the way they've been treating the Miz lately. God, just think of CM Punk and the Miz on the same team. Oh, good
Jeez.
Lord.
That'd be hilarious.
It would be.
Well, you know, and you have issues there as well, you know, on the other side where there's doubt of how if they can all get along.
Mm-hmm. There is that doubt that can they get along? Can these four people get along? Can the babyfaces get along and take out the Wyatts? Because we've never actually seen the Wyatts as a trio work together in the ring.
Right.
And you would assume as a trio they would be as dominant as the former trio in the Shield. You would assume.
Yeah. I would hope so, and just kind of going into really talking about what this could do for the Wyatts and how this could set the Wyatts.
This is an elevation for the Wyatts, it's clear and simple. They were floundering at this point without real direction until they started feuding with the Miz. This elevation to feuding with the two of the best in the world currently in Bryan and Punk, they will learn a lot. They will definitely improve. They will gain strength, as I knew you were on Tumblr. They will learn their craft working with two guys like Punk and Brian.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and you heard the reaction that they got when they attacked Brian, and then you heard the reaction they got when they attacked Punk. That's probably the loudest reaction I've ever heard them get, aside from their debut.
I would agree.
So this is something that's going to help get them over as that next really heel faction, because, well, for the Shield, we're starting to see a tease in the Shield potentially breaking up, and the fact that, well, Seth and Roman aren't taking any of Dean's crap. So we'll see where that goes, but this is something that could definitely help them, and I really hope they do a feud between the Wyatts and Punk, just because I want to hear the promo work.
The promo work between Bray Wyatt and CM Punk in any fashion will be tremendous.
Oh my god, it's going to be epic.
The sermons that will be cut between the two men will be tremendous. And I'm looking forward to it, and we can get it as early as Monday Night Raw.
Which is really exciting. Or they could just completely say, yeah, F off and take the Wyatts in a completely different direction, which if that happens, I will cry.
She'll be on the first flight to Stamford, Connecticut.
I will! Be like, no! Make that feud happen! Make it happen! Now!
Make it happen now, she says. Now!
Well, would you want to see that?
Oh, I want to see it. I totally want to see it. I want to see the CM Punk and Bray Wyatt feud. It'd be tremendous. Punk would be the guy in the ring, on the mic, and wrestling-wise, that could work with Bray Wyatt.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's something of, it gives both Punk and Brian something to do coming out of two really hot feuds. And it allows them a chance to sort of cool down a little bit, and then they can build them back up going into Mania season.
Mm-hmm.
And you could get a nice, probably 2 pay-per-view, possibly 3 pay-per-view feud out of this.
You could take it to TLC and into the TLC and into the Rumble. Not a match at the Rumble, but into the Rumble match itself.
Right. And you go from there. So yeah, I would be very curious to see it. Be very eager to see it.
I'm with you.
And the chat room's like, oh god, they're talking about the Wyatts again. But it's Halloween. We can't not talk about them. So on that note, I think we've about burned that topic out. So let's get into our question of the night.
Who is your favorite creepy character in pro wrestling? The answer
and
is...
And survey says...
Bray Wyatt. The Undertaker. Kane. Gangrel. The Boogeyman. Waylon Mercy. Mankind. Johnny B. Bad. Johnny B. Bad. Anyway. I'll throw it to you first. Creepy character in wrestling? Favorite?
Bray Wyatt isn't the favorite, but he's growing on me. I would actually have to say, as far as creepiness goes and just making your skin crawl, I'm going to go with either Kevin Thorne or the Boogeyman.
The Boogie Woogie Man. I can't get through without Papa Shango. Boogeyman's going. I like the Boogeyman. He had a really creep factor to him. Kevin Thorne, that's the vampire gimmick. I could see it.
When Thorne first started, not later on in ECW towards the end, but when he first started, he had a creepiness to him. That was really kind of interesting. But it's more Boogeyman just for the entrance and the way that the character was done. That really, it's like he, every time you saw him, you're like, oh, he's so cool, but goddamn, he's so creepy.
Yeah, I agree.
So, how about you?
Character that was in pro wrestling, no longer with us, sadly, Paul Bearer.
I would agree with that.
The voice, the look, the promos, creepy. All around creepy, gave you chills at times. But beyond that, current. Someone on Sex Alive, I would agree Mankind is a good one. His original gimmick when he first came in WWE, pulling out the hair, the rocking back and forth. Creepy stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah, I would agree with that.
So that's my two picks, as it were. Paul Bearer and Mankind. You know, you get your Brays, you get your Takers, your Canes, and all that stuff.
The thing about Takers is I love Taker and I love Kane, but they really haven't been, like, uber creepy for a really long time. And I don't know if Kane's ever been creepy, like Taker was back in the day, but I don't know if Kane was.
No, he never had that full-on creep factor, as a lot of characters do.
I think the creepiest I ever saw Kane was when he was with Lita.
Yeah.
Taker just hasn't had that creep factor for a long time, just because that's not how he's portrayed anymore.
And his creep factor, as I brought up, was a bit tied with Paul Bearer.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the creepiest things I remember Taker doing was probably the Ministry of Darkness.
Oh, yeah.
That was, like, stalking Stephanie and everything, yeah. That was really good, but he hasn't done anything like that in almost, what, 15 years?
Yeah, 14 years, yeah.
Yeah, so, it's just, Taker's more spooky at this stage.
Spooky, yeah, I would agree. He's very eerie, has a very eerie and spooky presence, but he's not creepy any longer.
Yeah.
So that's question of the night here on the Spooktacular.
So, unless you has a rant, I think we're done.
We're done.
Alright, well, you've been listening to The Wreck right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and Rock's going to tell you all about the other stuff you can listen to on this network, right, Rock?
You can check out, I guess we're calling it WTR Gamer Garage with Maze live, 8 p.m. Eastern-ish, as he goes through WWE 2K14, 30 years of WrestleMania.
Ooh, can't wait.
So yeah, Maze, I think we should call it that as a program, and then we can make a graphic and fancy stuff. So anyway, WTR Gamer Garage with Maze, live 8 p.m.-ish right here on the Twitch player at wildtalkradio.com. Saturday night, midnight-ish, it's CB Radio with myself, Rob Parks, Ace, and Subway. We'll probably talk about the Boston Red Sox winning and Ace's experience going to the parade and being in Boston for the celebration on game night, if he bothers to show up, because he is known to be the pot-top player. So, check it out, midnight-ish. Beforehand, we make fun of King Kins for 2 hours on Cards Against Humanity, right here on Wild Talk Radio.
You just had to put that in there, didn't you?
I did.
You're welcome. By the way, you're welcome, King Kins. Anyway, continue.
What was that comment? Anyway, Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. It is WTR Sunday night. Filling in for Omega Lindsay, filling in for Tim Stein is me, filling in for Maze, for WTR Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll cover everything happening on Raw and SmackDown and the like at 10 p.m. Eastern. We're back next Monday night, this Monday night for Raw, the post show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. We'll cover Monday Night Raw. Follow us on the Twitters at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Get the official Rack t-shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com/Rack Radio Show. And next Thursday night, live at 11 p.m. Eastern, it's going to be a fun show. I'm not going to say anything else. It's going to be a fun show.
Let's just say it might get really, really, really funky, and someone might have to come in and save us. Wink.
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 Nudge.
Wink.
Nudge. All up in this Kool-Aid right here next next Thursday night, 11 p.m. Eastern. That's all we're saying. Lindsay, promote your stuff.
All right, well, you can follow me on the Twitters at LinsWard, LNSWRD. You can go to my website, psychwardesigns.com, check that out. If you go on my website, under the Contact Us section is my Redbubble store. If you'd like to buy any of my awesome, amazing, cool artwork, it is for sale in my Redbubble store. Select pieces are available, mostly wrestling-related. There's one Game of Thrones piece, and that's it. I'm working on getting more up on the store, but sadly, sizing is limiting on what I can actually put up. Go to CastyRiley.net for all your Casty Riley needs. And, of course, you know, visit RackRadioShow.com, buy the official t-shirt, which they can get at
ProWrestlingTees.com/RackRadioShow.
And, well, visit our fine sponsors, PW Mania, TNAsylum.com, and, of course, MemLanePromo.com, or I should say, yeah, MemLanePromo, memorabilia link. Got it right this time. Yes! It's like, no, wait, not right. No, it's right. Okay, sorry. I always screw up your blog. I'm so sorry. I'm a bad host. So, yes, visit our fine sponsors because they're amazing. They support us, and we appreciate it so much. Also, please listen to all the other fine programming on this network. We all work very hard. Tune in tomorrow night for Mace playing WWE 2K14 because it will be amazing and awesome. And he's taking time out of his schedule, people. So listen and watch and cheer. And in some cases, well, yeah, I won't say laugh, but there may be snickers. Depends on what's going on. Based on reactions, just saying. Not on the gameplay, just reactions. I'll shut up now. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTechRadio.com, and we will see you guys next week. Bye!